Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So that is the passage which we want to consider in a moment. And before that, we want to come and sing hymn over. Go back to last year. You are unable to do so. You are already 1 year older. Will we be able to live another year to meet here again at Christmas? God willing, we will be able to do so. But are we going to be sure that we are able to do so? Let us not take for granted the life that God has given to us. And the best way we want to propose to you is that you remember why the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth. Too many people celebrate Christmas in a way which does not bring across the message of Jesus Christ. They buy, they sell, they eat, they drink, they exchange gifts, they visit one another. But Jesus Christ is not in their life. They do not realize that Christmas is not just a celebration of the culture of the people. Christmas is actually a celebration of the gift of God to mankind, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Why did he come to earth? What did he accomplish by his coming to earth? These are questions that all of us need to find answers for. Otherwise, we will not be able to celebrate Christmas meaningfully. In this message, we want to be reminded of Jesus Christ, who came to earth to save sinners. There are three main points we want to draw out of the passage which we have studied or read earlier. Verse 1 to verse 3 brings across to us the point that the apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ, preach a definite message. So what was that message which they preach? We are told in the passage in verse 2, For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now here, clearly, we learn that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he preached a certain message. And that message continued to be preached by his apostles. And that message is now contained in the Bible. And that is the message that we want to discover from the Bible. What is that definite message? What is that clear message that the Lord Jesus Christ passed to the apostles passed to us, and today we find it in the Bible? Verse 9 tells us, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So the message is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is about his suffering on the cross of Calvary to the point of death. And the message concerns our salvation. We are to be saved, saved from our sin, saved from eternal damnation by God for our sins. We are to be saved from the fact that we are here only for a short time, and then after that, what? So we know that our life on this earth is limited. After this, it is over. We know that nothing good lies beyond that, unless God intervenes and comes and saves us. So these three things become clear. The message preached by the apostles was about a person called Jesus Christ. The message preached by the apostles was about Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. The message preached by the Lord Jesus Christ was about how the message preached by the apostles was about how Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, brings salvation to sinful people like us. So these three things are tied together. One person called Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and this person, by his death on the cross, brings salvation to sinners who otherwise will die in their sin. Then we come to the second point. The second point concerns Jesus Christ, whose coming fulfilled Old Testament scriptures. God, from the beginning, had announced already that he would provide a way of salvation for the people on this earth. You must understand that the Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created." So you see now that there is no book in the world that brings the message of God from the beginning. Nowhere in the world you can find any holy book anywhere that talks about God, who existed from eternity and began creation. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said that let there be light, and there was light. And so God began to create the whole universe. So the Bible brings us all the way to the beginning of the whole universe. The Bible brings us to the Creator who made everything. So the Bible reveals to us God's plan for the human race. What happened was that the first man and the first woman created sinned against God. They disobeyed God, and therefore they brought death upon the whole human race, because the whole human race descended from this first pair of people. So this first pair of people, Adam and Eve, are the ancestors of the human race. We all descended from Adam and Eve. And what happened is, because we all descended from Adam and Eve, we all are guilty before God. So if we are guilty before God, it means that we deserve to be punished by God. Surely, if God is really God, then we have to be punished for the wrong we have done against him. And if God does not show mercy upon us, we will have no hope, because we deserve God's punishment. And another thing that we must understand is that because we descended from Adam and Eve, we therefore have inherited a sinful nature from them. Now look at children who are born anywhere in the world. You discover that without you telling them to tell lies, without you teaching them to tell lies, they know how to tell lies. You do not want the children to rebel against their parents, but you see that children everywhere learn to go against their parents. And you do not have to teach children to steal, and you discover everywhere in the world, children automatically learn to steal. And all these are indication of the fact that we all are descended from the same parents, and we have inherited their sinful nature. Now try as hard as you like to do everything right in the sight of God. You discover that you are unable to do so. It is as though there is a spring in you that turns you in the direction of sin. Left to yourself, you will turn to do things that are wrong before God. Now, because of our sins, of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, you discover that we are unable to please God. We have all incurred guilt because of the wrongs we have done against God. So you discover now that when Adam, the first man, sinned against God, we became guilty in him because he was our representative head. He was our leader, as it were. We all descended from him. So we are already guilty in Adam. And because we have inherited a sinful nature from him and his wife Eve, we all have done wrong before God as well. And we are guilty for all the wrongs we have done before God. We are, as it were, doubly guilty. We were guilty in the sin of Adam. We are all guilty for the sins that we have committed. Now we are in a situation where we have to be punished by God, and there is no hope for us unless God shows his mercy. And the Bible reveals to us that God is a merciful God. From the beginning, he has already announced that one day a Savior would come. And the passage before us reveals one such passage from Psalm 8, verse 4 to verse 6. Other passages are found in the Old Testament as well. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, the prophets have already announced that one day someone would come, and he would be the one sent by God to be our Savior. And the day came when the Lord Jesus Christ was born through the body of Mary. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on perfect human nature by being born into this world. The Holy Spirit protected him from the sin of man. And so Jesus Christ came into the world. The Son of God came to be man, but without sin. So Jesus Christ is both God and man in one person. And as God and man in one person, he is the perfect Savior of the human race. No one can save us except Jesus Christ, because he is the one prepared by God to be our Savior. That is why it is good news to us. Christmas is about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Savior. So that covers the second point, that the coming of Jesus Christ in fact fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about him. Then we come to the last point. His death and resurrection accomplished the salvation of his people. We must understand that Jesus Christ came with a definite purpose. When he was walking on this earth, he began to announce that he was from heaven who had come to earth, and he would soon return to heaven. When he was on earth, he taught his disciples that very soon he would have to die in order that we may have life. The disciples at first couldn't understand that, and they couldn't accept that. But what happened was that the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and crucified on the cross of Calvary. And all this is history. You can read up history and you know that a man called Jesus was walking on the face of the earth. He was in Palestine. He was in Israel at that time, during the time when the Romans were ruling over much of the Western world. And at that time in China, the Han Dynasty was powerful. And it was during that time that Jesus Christ came to earth. And at that time he was arrested and crucified, and he died. And amazingly, on the third day he rose from the dead, and he was seen by over 500 people at different times. And finally he went up to heaven, promising to return to judge the world. While waiting for him to return, his apostles began to preach the message, and their words were inspired by the Spirit to be written down and collected for us as the New Testament. So the Old Testament, written by the prophets before the coming of Jesus Christ, become part of the Bible, and the New Testament, written by the apostles, become part of the Bible. So together we have the complete Bible. And the Bible reveals all that we need to know about God It reveals to us all we need to know about how we may be saved. The Bible therefore shows to us that Jesus Christ is that promised Savior. He came to die on the cross to pay for the sins of His people. We are guilty before God. We need to be punished by God for eternity. We often give the simple illustration. You steal a chicken from your neighbor. You have done wrong. If he reports you and you are arrested by the police, you will be put to jail. You have to pay the fine before you can go free. Okay? Unless the fine is paid, you cannot go free. And if you have murdered someone, then the fine is that you will be put to death, a life for a life. See? And unless somehow that price can be paid, somebody has to die for you, otherwise you have to die. You cannot escape. And if you were to steal a chicken from the king, now the punishment is not just a jail with just a fine of a few hundred ringgit, because you have committed the same wrong but towards someone different, towards the king, then you deserve severe punishment. Now we have done wrong to the eternal God, the God who created us. We therefore deserve eternal damnation. And it is such a miserable state of affairs that we are faced with. We are the creatures of the Almighty God. We live in His world, but we do not recognize Him and we do not want to know Him. Now that makes our life miserable. Our life has no meaning. In this short life, how long can you live? 70, 80, maximum 90, perhaps up to 100. Very few of us can reach beyond 90. Most of us will die before 80. So as we touch the year 70, you discover that every year is an additional year for you. You do not know when you will be called. So we know that our life is so short on this earth. Now in this short life on this earth, we live in misery because we do not know our Creator. Very much like orphans, people who have no parents, they grow up, they wish they know who their father is. And you know that there are those who have been given away to others, and when they grow up, they want so much to know who their biological father was. Otherwise, they would not be satisfied. And so also with us, we live in God's world and we do not know who our Creator is. And we do not have a sense of direction, a sense of destiny. You may be so confident about your life, I know what I want for life, that is why I work my way to be successful. But after this, what? Let me ask you. Your life is so limited. After this, where do you go? What happens to you? And here the Bible shows us that by coming to know Jesus Christ, we will know the Creator, because He was sent by the Creator to pay for the price of our sins. And by coming to trust in Jesus Christ, His righteousness is considered given to us, so that God can forgive us and God accepts us as His children. That is why Christians pray from their heart. They do not just recite a prayer. They pray from their heart, calling God Father. People get offended. How can you call God Father? But please don't get offended with us. This is the teaching of the Scriptures, and we have come to know the true God through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, God is our Father. His Spirit now lives in us. His Spirit gives us holy desires. His Spirit gives us hope in the promises of God that one day Christ will return to judge the world. And we know that through faith in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled with God. We have been accepted by God. That's why we are in constant communion with our Father in heaven. That is why Christians constantly pray to God in heaven. So we are now in a living relationship with God. And we have a sense of purpose in this world. We may pursue various professions in this world, but we know that we are here to serve our God. And we have a sense of destiny. We know that we are heading for our heavenly home. So who is to be pitied? Not the Christians. You are mistaken if you think that Christians are narrow-minded people or people who do not enjoy life. No, you are badly mistaken. God has changed us. God has made us His children. And God has given us a sense of purpose in life. And God has now given us a sense of destiny. We know we are on our way home to meet our Father in heaven. And all this came about through faith in Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus Christ, therefore, is good news to those who realize their need for a Savior. Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross in order that life may be given to those who repent and believe in Him. Jesus Christ will one day return to judge the world. We are looking forward to that day. If we die before He comes to judge the world, we know we will be together with Him and be brought to this world to judge the world. If Jesus Christ returns before we die, we will be caught up into the air. We will be transformed and we will live in the new heavens and the new earth that will be created. This is the promise of God. Christians have this sure promise. We know that God will not tell a lie. If God tells a lie, He is not God. We do not want to believe in Him. But because God is God, He cannot tell a lie. If He has made so many promises in times past, and those promises have been fulfilled, what more of those promises, those few promises that have yet to be fulfilled? The greatest promise of all, the coming of the Savior, has been fulfilled. Christ came, Christ died, Christ rose from the dead, and Christ has promised that He will return to judge the world. So we are thankful to God for giving us this great gift of salvation found only in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Let us come to Jesus Christ and trust in Him, because He alone is the Savior of the world. Let us come to praise Him, because He is worthy of all our praise. Let this Christmas be different from all other Christmas that you have celebrated in the past. Let today be the day when you make up your mind to turn from your Christless life, a life that is without Christ. Let today be the last day of such a life. Let today be the day when you turn to trust in Christ as your Savior. Come to Him. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you